Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't mess with the coon dog.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a pleasure to talk to the Coom Dog, Mr. Ron Coomer. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Morning, Ron.
Good morning, Mikey, David. How are you boys doing today?
Well, it's Cub Sox, so everybody is very excited. And, well, not really. Okay, never mind. It's lost some of its oomph.
Yes, it is.
We're even arguing about whether or not it's a rivalry. That's how bad it's gotten. Isn't that horrible?
I think it's still a rivalry, but it's not a significant rivalry when, you know, one team is down and the other team is up, no matter how it goes. And it's been the other way too, you know, so it just is what it is. So these games will be played hard, though. I know you never take these games for granted, that's for sure.
They will, Ron, and there's a lot at stake still for the Cubs, obviously, with a 2.5-game lead. There's a lot to play for. Unfortunately, we wake up this morning and there's a disturbing report about Addison Russell's ex-wife, Melissa, writing on her WordPress account, which got to her Instagram account, social media. But it revisits the allegations from last year that were investigated when she was not cooperative with the investigation. But now she comes back a year later and writes something, you know, very disturbing details about the first time I was physically mistreated by my spouse, I was in shock. And it goes from there. I know that you want to stick to baseball. I know you have to as part of your job. How do you anticipate the Cubs handling this? Because this is something that is out there. There is something that, you know, it's domestic violence is a serious issue, whether it's in any walk of life. Major League Baseball has made it a priority to be tougher with its discipline, and the Cubs have a responsibility to handle this the right way.
Well, I don't know how they're going to handle it. I can't speak for them. I can agree with what you're saying about the importance and severity and understanding of all of this topic, that you just have to give it its just due and make sure and just do whatever you have to do, because this is just wrong. It's just wrong. You can't do this. You can't have domestic violence. You can't be putting your hands on women. That's just the way it is. And it's just whatever. If you do that, you deserve every bit of punishment that happens. In my, you know, view of it, I there's no protecting anybody. You lose all anything that happens once you do that. Anything that any way a team or any business can help you is thrown out the window because you've lost all that. With that being said, this has been investigated once before. And the only thing I would say is let the process play out and see what happens. If the story is, you know, obviously it's resurfaced. So let the process play out, because you just don't know what the full story is. And I don't think any of us do.
Yeah. And I'm with you. It's, you know, I have an emotional response to this stuff. I have two daughters. I'm married to a woman. I had a mother. I just think that all of us react in different ways to this, but the one that got me is the sentence where she talks about going back to bring her son to see him. This is after she left him. I swore to myself it would be the last time he'd lay his hands on me. It would be the last time I'd let my son be a witness to it. I gotta tell you, man, I don't know. You know, a lot of this stuff is about kind of psychological abuse, and you know, an emotional abuse. He cheated on her. He, you know, blamed her for things, whatever. But that kind of stuff, and there's two references to physical behavior, that just, you know, that you lose me with that. And I can't not react emotionally to that for a thousand reasons, but really, you know, I'm surprised at the way people want to defend that and that people don't know what it is and they, you know, I understand what being a fan is, but I also understand what being a human is.
Well, absolutely. And there's no defending that act. There isn't. There's just no way. You can't defend the act of a man putting his hands on a woman and doing something like that. All I would say, this isn't being a fan. This is just being a normal guy, you know, who grew up, you know, in our city and anywhere, wherever you are. And to me, that's unacceptable. It just is. Let's just see how this is, how this plays out and what, you know, let the investigation do its, you know, do the due diligence of let's see what happened. That's all I can say. If that happened, there's nothing you can say that makes it. It just is what it is, and you got to accept the responsibility of doing it. And you feel for this, for the, any person that has to deal with that. Period. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Everyone is entitled to due process, Ron. You're exactly right. And fairness dictates, you know, we remember there's two sides to every story. And you have to get both of those sides if you're the Cubs, if you're Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
As the process plays out fairly and I think responsibly, how do you anticipate maybe them handling Addison Russell? You do have a 40-man roster. You do have 10 games left in the regular season. You do want to do this fairly quickly because you owe it to everybody to kind of get to the bottom of this as soon as anyone can. Do you expect him to be, you know, continue to be in the lineup, on the roster? Did you think anything could happen that would prevent him from, you know, being part of this going forward?
The only thing I could think of, David, and then because I don't have any answers, I really don't. The only thing I can think of is depending on where this investigation went a year ago, and how it was concluded would have a big determination on how it's treated today. We just don't know. I didn't hear, it didn't leak out to anybody how this investigation ended, so you just don't know. There might be, I just don't know. And that would, to me, be the big determining factor in how you treat Addison, but, you know, this has been said again, so you just don't know. I really don't. I'm really, this just broke this morning.
Right.
I'm
really
at a...
Oh, yeah, and I know we're putting you in a kind of a tough spot because you probably woke up and this was as big of a surprise to you as it was to us.
Yeah, right.
What we don't know is how big of a surprise this was to the Cubs. And did that investigation last year include her testimony? Was she cooperative? It sounded like she wasn't. Maybe this is new. Maybe it isn't. But we need to find out more before we jump to any conclusions. Yeah. At the same time, it is serious. It is an issue you cannot just sweep away.
It's definitely serious.
Away.
There's no doubt. Yeah. You have to, you know, ask Mark Cuban, the Dallas Mavericks.
And
this, you know, I mean, it's to a point now in pro sports where we have to address it and eliminate it. Right. I mean, if at all possible, it's just, you know, it's a bad situation, and let's just see what happens. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with everything you said, Ron. I also think it's not just in pro sports. I think that we've seen it now. I mean, it's going on in politics and Hollywood, everywhere, the Me Too movement. There's a lot of things. You know, we live in a different world than we did a year ago, even when this came out.
Yep.
Didn't come out. I mean, let's be honest about it. It was a year ago, it was some friend of hers that said something on social media. It was a secondhand report on social media that, you know, they looked into. And she didn't want to have any part of it. And, you know, she was her parents, I guess, said she was afraid. I don't know what was going on. But this is now the woman herself speaking on this subject. So it's taken on a different certainly tone and certainly a different context that we look at it in. And, you know, there's nothing we can solve about it, but I think it's something we can't ignore, unfortunately.
Right.
Baseball-wise, what are you expecting this weekend, Ron? Cubs at Quintana today. It's a big start for him.
Just because it's at the south side. Yeah, no doubt about it. This will be the first time he goes back to pitching at his old ballpark against his old club. And just being back at the old ballpark, I know for myself, playing at the Metrodome for the first time after leaving from there was emotional, and it's going to be for him. It's a big start for our ball club, you know, 2.5 games up and you got to win. And, you know, so what I anticipate, he's been really good lately.
Yeah.
I anticipate him having a great start. And I anticipate the Cubs offense kicking it into gear and playing some good baseball. It should be, you know, good weather to hit it at this, you know, at, on the south side. So let's just, to me, I expect the Cubs to play a good ball game. I really do.
Ron, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Ron.
It, pal.
Boys, you take care. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too. That's going to be a fun weekend. There'll be a lot of locals watching both sides of town, so it should be a good laugh all the way around.
Heading out there this afternoon. Looking forward to seeing how everything kind of unfolds today.
Hey, we're going to bring in the voice of the Bears next. Don't forget, the Bears have a big game out
by the way.
In the desert, and we'll talk to Jeff Joniak about it next. Mully and Hawn, the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, to Mac.
Jeff Joniak.
And it keeps getting better for the Bears defense.
The voice of your Chicago Bears.
Second and six, snap. Blitz is on, pressure, it's picked up. And Wilson hit from behind. Ball is stripped on the sack by Trevathan. Forced fumble pile up at the 40-yard line. A vicious defense tonight has turned over the Seahawks. Six sack tonight.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
Snap. And a little pitch up front. Here's Trey Burton in for the touchdown. The fake. There's the ball deception time. Burton a touchdown. Touchdown Bears. Empty spread. Right to left. Snap back. Here's the throw.
Oh!
And it's sitting out and picking up. I'm up to the 40. I'm over the 30. To the 20. Inside cut on Russell Wilson. Goodbye, Prince of Okamara.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
A victory formation for Mitch Trubisky. Home win number one for the 2018 Bears. 24-17 over the Seattle Seahawks.
You have got to be kidding me. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Jeff Joniak is the voice of the Bears, and it's getting to that point, Jeff, where it's time to start digging into the coverage. We've been talking about it all week. Can't wait tonight. Bears Unleashed, 9 o'clock on Fox. Our buddy Gabe Ramirez works over here at B96. We see him in the morning. He is with Shea Pepler and Brittany Payton and Corey Wooten. I saw them before. They talked about Kaepernick. I couldn't believe it. It was like a roundtable stuff. It's good to get into meaty stories like that, and it's also great to get ready for a Bears game. And the game, of course, the pregame starts at noon on News Radio 780 and, of course, 105.9 on the FM dial. And the Bears, what time do they kick off? Is it 3:20?
3:25.
Okay.
Hey,
so
Jeff.
We can watch the, I believe Cubs Sox is on at 1:10, something like that. We can watch that and we can see Hawks last game and then have a tearful moment before we tune in, Jeff. Perfect.
That sounds like a perfect Sunday. And then just whatever your flavor is for Cubs Sox, you know, maybe you'll be happy about that outcome one way or another. And then watch the Bears
doubt
kick
it.
The tail in Arizona. That'd be great.
Given my flavor, I doubt it, but thanks for suggesting it. I'll be as sad as Hawk, sadly. All right, buddy. So let's talk about what we've seen thus far. You know, Bigsy does a real good job of breaking down some of the sack attack. I think that's the stuff that gets the Bear fans riled up. And certainly the crowd was going crazy at Soldier Field. And you see the number of sacks. You see Khalil Mack and the influence he's having on the entirety of that team, the entirety of that defense. You got to feel awful good about what we're seeing to open this season.
Very much so. It's a bit of a feeding frenzy up front right now. I think the presence of Mack, and more you spend time in the locker room and talk to guys or interview guys or just, you know, chit-chat, I think we're almost understating his impact on this team at the moment. His presence was significant the moment he walked in there. It's what I keep hearing back from guys, and they literally break into a smile when they start talking about Khalil Mack. They thought they were good before he got there, and now they think big with him there. And I think that's the big delineation right now with his arrival. But, you know, he's going to require at least two, sometimes three guys dealing with him. Sometimes somebody's going to be brazen enough and have him, you know, try to deal with him one-on-one. but there are going to be opportunities for guys, and I think they feel it.
Jeff, one of the things I think even I've overlooked this week and kind of looking at this game and anticipating how the Bears should win this game is the Cardinal defense. I think Steve Wilks' influence on this defense could be really – you've already seen it in two games. I mean, Carolina and the Cardinals were the two top blitzing teams in the league last year. Steve Wilks was the Cardinals – or was the Panthers' defensive coordinator. He's now in Arizona. This is a very good defense potentially. Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson, they are very good players. How will the Bears combat that?
Hello?
How will the Bears combat that if they come after them, you know, with the blitz?
Oh, well, they have to prepare for every level of it because they'll come from every direction. Yes, you are correct. They were the top two teams blitzing in the NFL last season. And right now the Cardinals, I believe, have blitzed 47 times already this season. That's second most in the league. So they are blitzing, and they're going to come from every level. So you just got to have your head screwed on right. You have to have everything locked up. You got to know your protections 100%, and be prepared for it. They've watched plenty of tape on what Steve did with Carolina and what they're doing now with Al Holcomb as their defensive coordinator. But they do have good defensive players. They have guys you circle and you got to be aware of. One of them is defensive tackle Robert Ngiche. He's starting to play like his potential says he should. He's got a very athletic frame. He's very quick. If you go back to last season, he started to feel it at the end of the year, and they're letting him be him. He's a bit of a character, and he does his own thing off the field, and he's got other interests, but he's starting to play with a little power up front and a little more pass rush pocketing, pocket-breaking presence up there up front. So, and then, you know, honestly, it's almost my mistake this week in all the different platforms we're doing stuff previewing this game. Very rarely have I talked about Chandler Jones, but nobody's created more negative plays in the last 2 years in the NFL than Chandler Jones, and he's the sack leader a year ago with 17. So they got to block him. Up front's got to be good.
Bears should have taken him. At any rate, you remember that? I won't get into
yes.
it, but they should have.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, but at any rate, the fun thing for you, I would imagine, is that you get to your touchdown call early. They yeah. score on the opening drive each of the first two games. That says something about the script, about the plan, about getting in and getting it done early and taking a lead, and things that we haven't seen around the Bears. I mean, as much as people talk about why isn't the offense clicking more? It's kind of a work in progress. The script is working, my friend.
It very much is, and the real good teams, the script does work offensively with those first 15. So if you can squeeze out two drives in that and get on the board with two scores, whether it be 10 or 14 points, hey, it's how the Green Bay Packers typically beat the Bears. They jump out in front, and then they get a touch. They get another possession right before the half. They get another touchdown, get a 2-for-1, and get the kickoff to start the second half. That's the perfect scenario, but this game is all about adjustment. So you have to adjust, and you have to work off the script, and you know, and then becomes situational football. First down efficiency, third down conversion, whatever level it may be, short, intermediate, or long, and red zone opportunities. So that's where you have to win, and that's where you get paid your big money in this league.
This segment with Jeff Joniak is brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. Jeff, the guy who gets a little bit overlooked so far in two games on the defensive line, Leonard Floyd, is a guy who faced great expectations coming into the season. He's been wearing a club that gets replaced this weekend. How big of a factor do you think that has been, and what kind of difference might you see Sunday?
You know, you can't just dismiss the fact that he had that thing on. You can't use your hand to grip. So did that affect his ability to rush the passer? Did it affect his ability to have, you know, as a pass rusher, you just can't race the edge. You got to have multiple moves. And you have to, hang on, my alarm's going off here. All right, sorry. So you have to have multiple moves. You got to have a plan, and maybe that plan was diffused a little bit by not being able to really ultimately use that hand the way he should. So, yes, in theory, it should allow him to create more of a grip, and I think that'll alleviate any concerns he may have had about it. He dismissed the whole thing as not being a big deal because he did do it in college. He did have to wear it at Georgia, and he was able to make some plays. I even watched some of those plays on tape. So I can only think the best is yet to come for Leonard Floyd, and I bet he is just hungry to unleash his own moves and get to the quarterback and be able to beat an offensive lineman with his hands as well as his feet.
Is it wrong that I am going to be keeping a close eye on the number of carries Jordan Howard has this week, and I want it to be, I don't know, I wouldn't mind 25. I doubt he'll see it, but, I mean, 14 doesn't seem like enough.
No, and I Matt Nagy agrees with you. Mm-hmm. He agrees with you and came out and said it. So he is a rhythm back, too. He's a lather back, and so you do have to feed that beast. And unfortunately, you know, in the NFL, and there are coaches that believe this is where you know, if you want to get your 10 to 12 to 14 carries, then we'll get you the other 10 in the four-minute offense when we're trying to put the game away. And, you know, that's kind of the deal here, I think, with the Bears offense at the moment. If that's the system is going to be something like that, you know. But at the same time, how did Kareem Hunt get as many carries as he did in Kansas City last year and lead the NFL in rushing? So I think it's going to be a growing process with the entire offense here. We don't really know what it's going to be. It's only two games. It's only been, you know, 129 plays or whatever. So let's just let it grow, let it mature, and let's find out where this thing goes. But he definitely is a back you want to have the ball in his hands. And, you know, in this offense, the short game, too, is almost like a long handoff. So out of the backfield, you almost have to count that time or two. But the pure runs between the tackles, the outside perimeter, you know, sweeps, I'd like to see that, too.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
We'll be listening.
Take care.
All right, fellas. Thank you. Have a great one.
That is our guy, Jeff Joniak, heading to Glendale to get the Bears a victory.
I'm with him. You'd like to see a little bit more authority between the tackles with Jordan Howard.
Well, you know, it really makes offensive linemen happy to do that.
You like to keep
really
those guys happy.
It really creates balance. And frankly, it really opens up your play action
game. It does. It makes
Mitch Trubisky
better.
They're struggling in play action.
And play action passes lends itself to throwing on the move. You're moving the pocket, and it plays to the strengths of the quarterback.
Yes.
Jeff just changed my prop bet in one of our prop bets we're going to do in the next segment.
Oh, nice tease, Mike.
There. How about that?
Good job, Espo.
Hey, there you go.
I'm here for something, right?
You're a professional.
There you go. Radio professional here in the Northwestern Football Update studio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
And Haw on the Score, and it's Friday around 8:40, which means it's time to take a look at some of the action. You know
what
I'm talking
means?
About. The action,
is that what
David
it means?
Haw.
All right.
Of course, this is for entertainment purposes only.
That's the name of the segment.
That's right. It's for
entertainment purposes only.
That's it.
I just
that's
threw it,
it
out there.
We just
it's,
coined it.
That's fine. Last week, you guys both did very well. David, you were 4-1. Mully, you were 4-1. Mr. Haw, though, you are in the lead, 7-3 overall this season.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Mully is 6-4. Joe Ostrowski went 3-2 last week. He is 6-4 as well. I went 2-3 last week. I am 5-5. And Dustin, bringing up the rear, he went 0-5 last week.
What?
He is 2-8.
He did what?
Overall.
With four strikeouts.
Brought up the rear.
Can he go first so I can pick against him? Oh, look at him. Look at him.
It's not exactly the way it works.
No, I'm just
We'll
joking.
Start with everybody's favorite local football team here, the Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals, where Chicago is a 6-point favorite. Mully.
I'm going to take the Bears. I don't like this spot that much. I don't like the point spread drifting the way that it has. It opened at 4.5, and we have it at 6. It's at 6.5 in some places. I think, you know, obviously if it got to 7, I'd have a problem. But Bears -6. I really think the Cardinals are in a good spot here because the Bears played on Monday night in a short week and a long trip. But I'm going Bears -6.
At the scene of a memorable victory in the desert, the Bears are going to learn the Cardinals are who they thought they were. They're a bad team with a bad quarterback. Bears, defense scores again. Bears in a romp.
Guys, Mully just laid out the reason I'm taking Arizona, except he selected the Bears after giving all the reasons why he should select Arizona. I hope I'm wrong, and I certainly am rooting for the Bears to win, and I think they will win. I just don't know that they're going to cover 6. So I will take Arizona.
Oh, it's going to be the Bears. It's going to be a romp. It's going to be a stomp. Arizona is going to have their wings clipped, so to speak, to Cardinals. Are there even many Cardinals indigenous to Arizona? I don't really see many of them out there.
Oh, they were originally from here.
Yeah. Then they migrated southwest, I suppose. Bears will easily cover this minus six. I predicted a 35-10 victory earlier today.
It's hilarious.
Bears.
Well, just for the sake of making up ground, but I'm not going to change my pick. You know, if it stays at six, I think six is okay. You get to that 6.5, 7 area.
Dangerous.
I would warn people off. Short week on the road off of back-to-back nationally televised games. Rookie quarterback. Yes, I do think Mitchell Trubisky is a rookie.
Yeah.
Can't win rookie of the year.
That's insulting
but
every time you say it.
Donovan Mitchell agrees with you, though.
17-10 Bears.
It's a bust. Las Vegas Fun Police, hand over your chips.
Sunday night in the Motor City, it will be the Lions hosting the New England Patriots, where Bill Belichick's team is a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and people want you to say this is a nice, quaint teacher-pupil story. Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia. There's nothing cute about a ticked-off Tom Brady. The Patriots go into the Motor City and roll Patriots big.
I'm also taking the Patriots. I do believe that that the whole storyline with, I think, mad New England, mad Bill Belichick, mad scientist, I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm going to go with New England also. Mad Patriots, mad Tom Brady, and bad Lions, who I think will quickly classify themselves as the worst in the NFC North. I guess one of the interesting notes to watch for, too, is will we see Josh Gordon out there for New England? You know, they know Julian Edelman. They need receivers, and they picked up Josh Gordon this week. We know the troubles he had in Cleveland. Will he play against Detroit? Who knows?
6.5 is a little bit of a bridge too far for me with New England going on the road. I know Detroit, not exactly world beaters, but I think they'll be able to keep pace to some extent. You can throw the ball a little bit against this New England defense, and I expect Matt Stafford to have a Stafford-y game where he throws probably 3 or 4 touchdowns, but also throws probably 3 interceptions as well. They're going to be chucking it. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. Detroit keeps it close. I think they cover the 6.5.
No, I don't need the stat that I'm going to provide. I mean, I can't imagine the Patriots going on the road and not being able to win this game and also cover this game. I also think this is one of those circle the wagon. They don't like when the four-letter network
they need to win.
At them.
That's right.
Right, and there's been some off-the-field stuff, obviously.
They're coming
the
off
book.
A loss, and you're absolutely right. There's a lot of rumors and a lot of stuff flying around.
So, innuendo.
So if you don't like the Patriots, let me give you another reason to like the Patriots. The Lions are 2-18. ATS last 20 home games when they are underdogs by 6 or more points.
Wow.
Yeah, this 2-18. Bringing
Dustin Horton.
Metrics. Believe it or not.
You think you'd be better than 2-8?
Dustin, you're good with those numbers.
This guy.
So you're taking the Patriots?
Patriots.
All right.
Maybe that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
Tomorrow at 11 o'clock. A game that Dustin has a lot of interest in, I'm sure. Notre Dame visiting Wake Forest, where the Irish 7.5-point favorites.
There's a lot going on here. You know, to me, it's kind of a trap game. You know, they're on the road. They have not been very impressive. They have not been very inspired. They have a big game against Stanford looming. I think the Irish will win the game, but I don't think they'll cover the 7.5. I don't like the hook there, so I'm taking Wake Forest.
I think everything you said is true. That's why Notre Dame needs to make a statement. They need to make a statement. They're serious about this season. Brian Kelly needs to stop feuding with Vanderbilt coaches. They need to start getting his offensive line looking like the Notre Dame offensive line, the defense to play well, and the quarterback to produce. Don't be surprised if you see more of Ian Book this year, and I think they're going to throw the book at Wake Forest and roll at home. Take Notre Dame. For entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. David, would not
games
your...
at Wake, though, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Notre Dame on the road.
Would not your Ball State squad have covered this spread against Notre Dame?
Yeah, maybe.
And for that reason, I'm taking Wake Forest. That and the quarterback play has been very inconsistent. Give me Wake Forest, even though I know very little about their team. I will take them plus the points.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Wake Forest there, Espo.
Please, Kevin.
They've got two pretty solid running backs, and they've got one of the most underrated wide receivers in the nation in Greg Dortch. I think Wake Forest will be able to score some points. I think 7.5 is a little generous for Notre Dame. Molly, I agree with you. They haven't really blown me away at any point yet this season. I will take the Demon Deacons to cover the 7.5, and maybe even make it a little interesting there in the fourth quarter. Make your hips spark a little bit there, Dust.
All right, so just to make sure, we got a Wake Forest, we got a Notre Dame, we got a Wake Forest, we got a Wake Forest. You know, the problem with this game, it's the 7.5. Now, I think the exact opposite is going to happen. I think Notre Dame's talented enough to beat Wake Forest while game planning for Stanford. Their year is based on next week's game
right.
at South Bend against Stanford. I also think they need to learn how to run the ball. They need to learn how to dominate the line of scrimmage. What Wake Forest likes to do is play up-tempo. They're an up-tempo type team. How do you take the tempo out of an offense? You control the clock. You control the line of scrimmage. You run the ball. As David mentioned, there might be a change at quarterback. And if there is a change at quarterback, could there be a change at running back? Would they make that big of a bold move? Their best running back might be their starting quarterback.
He is.
So that being said, I don't know that they would actually make that move because you couldn't risk being down the supposed to be starter quarterback. But what would Notre Dame look like with a new quarterback who can throw the ball downfield a little bit better and their best running back who now plays quarterback actually playing running back? All that being said, I'm gonna take Notre Dame by 10 points. So I'm going with the Irish.
Big shock.
Hey guys. You ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what? Let the dogs out. You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who brought this guy along?
Tomorrow night, under the lights in beautiful, scenic Iowa City, it will be the Hawkeyes hosting the number 18, Wisconsin Badgers, where Wisconsin are a 3-point favorite.
I think I'm going with the Badgers. They're going to be able to throw the ball downfield. They have not played well. They're coming off a loss. You can't ignore that, even though they're on the road. I like the road teams this week, so I think that the Badgers are going to impose their will.
I also like Wisconsin.
I'm going to take Iowa at home. Sam's comments earlier. See, I've been paying attention during the show. Sam's comments earlier during our Vegas segment there about Iowa's defense has swayed me to change my pick. So I am taking Iowa plus the 3 at home.
I'm going to take Iowa as well. You know, tough place to play. You know, the nightlife there. Wow, it'll drive you crazy night before a game. But I am also going to deflect here to Sam Panionovich. He's been texting me all week, actually, to pound the Hawkeyes in this game. And he's got a pretty good record on the show this year. So I'm going to go with Sam. I'm going to go with Espo. I'm going to go with Iowa.
This is a tough one. Now, you know, Wisconsin was supposedly the cream of the crop in the West of the Big Ten, right? They did not look very good last week. Iowa's got a really good defense. This is like Iowa's like Super Bowl right now with Wisconsin coming in limping. This is their opportunity to gain control. Yeah, I like Iowa. I like them even more, like 3.5. But yeah, I'll take Iowa plus the 3.
Do you know what I do at the Shangri-La?
Prop bet, over under 21 carries for Bears running back Jordan Howard this weekend versus Arizona.
I got to go under. I just haven't seen any commitment to the run yet. 14 carries last week. I think there are too many weapons and too many plays and too many people to get involved, and I think you're forgetting about this guy. I think he's a great play. If you give him the ball, I think he'd have a big game. I just unfortunately think it's going to be closer to 20 than 21. It's just it's a carry too far for me.
Yeah, it's a big number. I don't know that the Bears are going to possess the ball that much, and plus they want to distribute it more to the different weapons. I think they're going to try a more concerted effort to get in the ball more on the ground, but I don't think they go over 21. I'll take the under.
Yeah, this is the one I changed my pick after listening to Jeff Joniak when he said you get 14 or 15 carries and then try to salt it away, get those extra carries at the end of the game. Well, what if it's a close game, which I'm expecting it to be a close game, in which case that automatically tells me to take the under. What I would like to see and what I think would work, Mully kind of alluded to this, is you give it to him 25 times and let him dictate this game against a weak team. I just don't know that that's going to happen, so I'm taking the under.
14 carries for Howard last week, 15 carries against Green Bay. I do think the Bears will have a more comfortable lead than they had in either one of those games, but until I see it for myself, I'm going to have to stick with the under here. I'm just, even if they do run the ball, I think they might, not just give the ball to Howard. You might see Cohen. You might see Gabriel get some more carries as well. I think they're going to spread it around and not just have Howard be that bell cow guy, as they say. I'm going to go under here as well.
This segment brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. Just because of this, I was already going over, but we got under. So I go over. I also said in the first segment of the show, in the first hour of the show, that I really liked Howard to be the player of the game and the guy you have to depend on. This is the week that they're going to feed this guy. I like over 21 carries for Mr. Jordan Howard.
Wouldn't it be fun if he had like 7 catches? just so Dustin was right and wrong. Oh, just kidding. All right, let's get to transition.
I'm just trying
next.
To not go 0-5 again, okay?
Oh, you're the best, buddy. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.